Remakers Mark Episode 50, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Remakers Mark. Here we are in Episode 50. Woot, woot, 50. Woot, woot. Exclamation point.
Woot.
Woot. Yeehaw. Episode 50. Can't hardly believe it, but here we are, where we are discussing the buddy comedy classic Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This is a special episode for us. Not a special episode, but wait. That
the
didn't go well.
Special episode.
This is an special episode. Let's go with that. How about that?
Yep, that's it.
So, because this is episode 50, we're doing things a little bit different. We're being a little reflective today. Let's talk a little bit about some of our favorite movies here that we've done at Remakers Mark. Andy Wicks, how are you doing tonight? And what was a favorite movie that we've remade here and why?
I am wonderful. Thank you for asking. And the one that sticks with me the most that I had the most fun with was The Court Jester.
Oh, nice. Right on. That is a good choice. I like that. That's darn near to one I was going to say as well. I dig it.
Did I wix anybody?
Ooh, stay tuned. We shall see.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. Jeremy Nilsson, how are you tonight? And what was a favorite movie of our remake history here?
Yes, I am scrum diddlyumptious. And my favorite episode and favorite movie is probably a very close tie between Clue and The Sting.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to go with Clue. That episode and that movie were just a blast to make and watch and
It's really fun watching an audio podcast too.
It's true. Staring at that waveform, mm-hmm. watching those emotions fly.
I meant watching
that movie was
movie.
Pretty much made for our movie or sorry, our podcast. It was just ripe for that, which is totes true. Good choices. Lee, home for Thanksgiving. How are you doing tonight, and what was a favorite movie that we've remade here?
I'm good, and I was going to say Clue, so I will just continue with Clue, just because it was such a great character discussion, I guess.
It really was.
Nice.
And Whixed.
Yep. Damn it, Jer.
Congratulations, Jer.
Indeed. And Mark Josting, how are you, and what was a favorite movie that we have remade here of yours?
Hello, I'm well, thank you. And, I think my favorite movie to remake was Kiss Meets the Phantom.
Nice.
And it's because even though the movie is so goddamn awful, remaking it was just so many wild ideas coming out of the left field. Yeah, it was a free-for-all, and I thought it was a blast.
It was cathartic.
It was.
That was an absurd thought experiment. Yep.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. My name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host again this fine, fine evening. And mine's kind of a three-way tie for various different reasons. I really liked Akira because I really liked doing something that didn't have any human parts in it. You know what I mean? I like going from animation to live action and how we would do that. I thought that was really fun. That was a good experiment. I really liked The Court Jester, probably for similar reasons to you, Andy. And that was a big surprise to me. I had no idea about that movie and came out really, really liking it and had a great experience. And then The Apartment as well, which I hadn't seen and just really enjoyed that movie. And I, the discussion of it was really great.
Oh,
man, that movie just really surprised me. And I was very, very happy to have seen that finally. So
nice. That was a good one.
Was a good one. So before we give a summary of our film here, I just want to talk a little bit about our history with this movie. We talked a little bit about it in last episode, but just to give you an idea in case you hadn't heard it. So this is the 50th sort of traditional episode of Remakers Mark. We've had a bunch of special episodes. We've had some series like Hidden Gems and For Shame. We've done In Memoriam, right? So we've got all these different things. But as far as the kind of regular two episodes per movie structure that we're sort of known for here, this is the 50th episode. And so in celebration of that, we decided to sort of travel back in time when we were putting Remakers Mark together. I was, very much into the world of podcast planning and had done a lot of research and sort of trying to figure out how best to do this in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that a lot of people recommended was that just record a couple episodes that never really get aired, send them to your friends, share it with people that are known and trusted and can give you good feedback on them, but they don't have to see the light of day. And so we did two of those. One of them, the second one that we did was Mystery Men, and the first one of them was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So really, the first Remakers Mark episode that was ever recorded, though it was never published, was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And it's such a great movie, and it's so much fun that I didn't want to see that lost to time. And so I tossed out shortly before we were kind of planning this and said, hey, what would you guys think about doing that? And everybody thought that was a cool idea. So that's where we're at today. So we have remade this before. We did not go back to our previous picks of that. We might record sort of a postmortem, as it were, as far as how it compared to that down the road here. But as it stands right now, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but nobody has gone back and either listened to that previous episode, reviewed our notes, anything like that. This is all fresh and new. So it will be an interesting comparison once we are done here with this. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles certainly holds a special place in our heart for many reasons, but especially since it was literally the first thing that we ever did together as a group here. So that's pretty darn exciting, and we're really happy to revisit it here. So
I'm not sure I ever heard the original beta episode.
Oh, really? I feel like I shared it with everybody. It's published online somewhere, yet it's hidden behind a username and password somewhere.
Yet you never tell us where it is.
I know. Isn't that strange? Don't worry, I will. When we publish this, I will include links to part one and part two.
Hey, this is a good time to start a Patreon. Support our podcast and you get access to our first piece of crap we ever made.
There you go. I'm intrigued to listen to it.
That's not the right way to do that.
No,
you're
that wrong?
Natural marketer, Andy. Good job.
Just call me Neil Page.
Yeah. So I will put in the links to that so that people can listen to if they would like to. We sure are not going to force it down the pipe here, but if you would like to listen to it, I think that would be a lot of fun. So that is our history with it. Andy, why don't you give us a summary of the film as well?
You know I'd love to. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a 1987 odd couple road movie comedy directed by John Hughes about two hapless business travelers attempting to get home on a busy Thanksgiving weekend. Steve Martin plays Neil Page, a buttoned-up marketing exec who is trying to make the 6 o'clock flight from New York to Chicago on the day before Thanksgiving when he is waylaid by Del Griffith, played by John Candy. Page finds himself entangled with and relying on Griffith on his frustrating travels home for the holiday, and what I consider to be John Candy's finest performance, hilarity, of course, ensues.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I like it. So, as is our usual, we will be recasting the film. There are two major characters and five minor characters. The two major characters we are going to announce sort of together here. So we'll be announcing our picks for both Del and Neil at the same time. We're not going to say them out loud at the same time because that would be chaos. Rather, we will go in order, but we'll be saying Del, then Neil for each of us individuals. So I will be starting out here. I will be first pick that just landed that way. I promise I am not drunk with power. That's the beer. So Del Griffith, originally played beautifully by John Candy, is an everyman and brings all the goods and bads that come with that title. He's brash but lovable, rude but endearing, plain but wholly different than everyone else. He might be a blabbermouth who takes his shoes and socks off on the plane, but daggummit, he's our blabbermouth. So played beautifully by John Candy is an understatement. This role, I think, Andy, I would side with you in that it is his best performance. It takes everything that is John Candy and does it so, so beautifully. It is a role that it's a hard to like individual at times, but it's the most lovable person at times as well. And that is a real wide swath to cover. And I think that would be really hard. I think for me, the hardest thing to do would be the lovable side of that. And so I wanted somebody that I think could run both sides of that, but at the same time, at their core, was a really kind of caring, lovable person. And you'll see a pattern in my two here. But for Dale, I went with Aubrey Plaza. I find her incredibly interesting.
Wow.
I mostly know her from Legion, and her character in that is a trip. If you have seen it,
fantastic. Yeah,
super great. She is all over the place. You don't see as much of the lovable there per se, but she has played a lot of different types of characters, and I feel like at her core is always a likable nature, but at the same time, she can really go out there. And so that's what I really wanted for this role. I wanted to make sure that lovableness was there, but wanted that, you know, those things where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that. Or I can't believe their underwear is in the bathroom or the socks off on the airplane or whatever, right? All those things that we would do in the remake would be both believable, yet you kind of want to root for him at the same time, which is hard. So yeah. So Aubrey Plaza was my choice for that.
I was so close to picking her.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yep.
Nice. That makes me happy. Good. It's not too out of left field.
Jer almost made an awesome pick.
Yep.
We shall see, Chickadee.
I'm always so close, but always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Stay tuned. And then for Neil, Neil Page, originally played by Steve Martin, needs to relax, such that some may even suggest that he's a tight ass. Of course, his pointlessly long meeting did make him late for his flight home to Chicago, and even on his short trip to the airport, did hijinks verily ensue, and he may never get home to see his family on Thanksgiving. But he still needs to relax. Enter Del Griffith, and we'll see if Neil relaxes. So I wanted to play a little bit against character here. And for Neil, you know, Neil is very stuffy, very upright, very straightforward, certainly flips out and does so in a very entertaining and funny way. But I wanted somebody that does that, but also when you would first see them, you don't necessarily know what character they're playing in a remake. I wanted it to be a little bit of a surprise. So for Neil, I went with Melissa McCarthy. Now, I think if you were to just say out loud who in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels Melissa McCarthy would usually play, I think you would probably say Dell, and for very good reason. I think she is a lovable person who can go big. But I wanted her to show that upright nature that she has. I think that would make her freakouts as Neil that much more potent. You know what I mean? I feel like she can be buttoned up. She can be really straightforward. But man, when she really goes in terms of just being angry. And that scene where she tells him off in the hotel and you just see John Candy melting like butter. I mean, that with her being that person, I'm like afraid of that Neil. So that's what I went with. I decided to go with a female duo here of Aubrey Plaza for Dell and Melissa McCarthy for Neil. And I thought the opportunity to see that sort of flipped on his head with Melissa McCarthy would be really interesting.
I agree.
I think you just said Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Did I?
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Sorry. Wrong Steve Martin. You're probably right. I'm talking about the wrong movie, though I did cast for the correct movie, strangely enough.
I would see either one of those.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totes.
Yeah.
Lee, you are up next. Who is your pairing?
For Dell, that was a role that I cast immediately. It was the first person I thought of. Just for someone who is very likable and has the gift for gab. So I went with Patton Oswalt, who I think people would know mostly from his stand-up specials. He has a lot of them out and he's incredibly funny, but he's also I think a really good actor. I believe he was on King of Queens, and I don't know if you've ever seen the NBC show AP Bio, where he which is currently on, and he plays a sort of a principal who is really unsure of himself, and you know, he's that proverbial character that sits at a seat of power but really has none. And he's really funny in that. So I thought he was a natural I guess choice for Dell. And then for Neil, I wanted someone who I know is funny and has done funny things, but is not necessarily known for that, like doesn't have the physical side of it as much, because that's one of the things that I guess I had a complaint about with Steve Martin's performance, is there are those moments when I don't see so much of the character, I just see Steve Martin.
Yeah, that's interesting.
When he flips out, and it's very like, it reminds you of like his stand-up shows and his appearances on Saturday Night Live. And I didn't want to see that as much. So I went with Jason Bateman, who I think is very funny being the straight man. And he can also be very serious as well.
I think it's a great pick.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thinking, you know, in terms of both ends of the spectrum, think like Horrible Bosses and then Ozark. I don't know if anyone's watched that.
I think even his character from Arrested Development shows some of he's exasperated a lot of the time. And I think that's a big element of this character.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that just beaten down, that kind of element of the character when everything's being canceled and everything's going wrong for him. He just naturally kind of has that you know, that glum look about him when it's still, and he still makes it funny.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great pick.
He's funny at reacting.
Yes.
So, yep. But yeah, those are my picks.
I think the Patton Oswalt pick is super spot on. I love that pick, mostly just because I love him, and he's such like a, he can be a caustic dude. I mean, like, if you listen to his comedy, it's like biting as all get out. Like, it is not kind, but he is a kind person at his heart. I think he, you know, he certainly has had pain in his life, and that comes out in his comedy. But all in all, I think he's got a great heart and is very lovable. And so I feel like him absorbing some of those taunts or those, you know, insults from Neil, I think that that scene is the one that I really landed on in my brain. You know, we always talk about those scenes that you have to fill, whether it's a specific line or a specific emotion. It's him being kind of, you know, glassy eyed or not glassy eyed, but like kind of watery eyed,
yeah.
As being told that he is all the things that Neil tells him, that he is a terrible person, never stops talking, etc. And I feel like he would nail that.
Yeah. And I think that scene is probably going to be the litmus test for everybody's casting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just speculating, but let's find out with Jer.
I also had Jason Bateman on my list, so I'm doing terribly. I just picked all the, I picked all of my second choices. I wanted somebody, so I'm going to go Neil Page first. I wanted somebody that was going to be able to play kind of the straight man fairly well, but in a, but still find that comedy as they were doing it. And I wanted somebody that was going to kind of have that simmer below the surface, that was going to continue to, you know, that that sort of tight ass mentality of, you could just see that they're wound up so much, and that just keeps going and going as all of these things just keep on going wrong until it finally just pops in that scene that Lee was just talking about, and everything just sort of comes spilling out, and he just chooses the easiest target that's in front of him, which is Del Griffith. And you know, all half of that stuff isn't even about, half of the emotion isn't even about Dell. It's about all of these other problems and not getting home for Thanksgiving. And it just happens to kind of come out there. So I was looking for somebody that can play both comedy as it happens around them and to them, but also can get very, very stirred up when it needs to, but then also have some heart and emotion at the end of it. Because after that scene, the movie really shifts and there's a lot more compassion and care and love to both of the characters. And so the performances of both Steve Martin and John Candy were extraordinary, especially in that scene. So my Neil Page pick, I went with Nick Offerman.
Ooh, interesting.
Who can definitely go with, he definitely has deadpan, but he also, yeah. He can just play a little bit of goofy too. And I think that I like him as a buttoned up executive. I like him as somebody that is got a lot of the springs below the surface are slowly tightening and tightening and tightening until they're just ready to pop. But then I wanted to kind of soften that a little bit and find somebody in my Del Griffith that was going to maybe be annoying in a different way, but still have that same kind of heartfelt connection, but not as much of a, they aren't going to verbally berate them or verbally berate each other as much. And maybe it's going to come out in different ways, but I wanted somebody that was going to soften the edges a little bit. And so, for Del Griffith, I chose Kristen Schaal. That is difficult to say. Kristen Schaal.
Nice.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
I like
I think she is one of the funniest people around right now. And she, you would know her from the old Flight of the Conchords HBO show. She does a ton of voice acting work in Bob's Burgers and a handful of other shows. She's got a couple of projects that are on the way in pre-production right now, some actual live action work. She was in Toy Story 4 that just came out as Trixie. She is a busy person, and she has incredible comic timing. She has a very unique look, a unique voice, and she's very super funny. And I think that she would be, going back to her Flight of the Conchords character, of somebody that was almost very stalkery and a little bit almost creepy, and I would want to pull a little bit of that vibe into it and less of sort of the schlubbiness of the John Candy's character, but still being very much at odds with Neil Page as far as how they look at life and how they are trying to get this journey completed.
Yeah, if there's an heir apparent to someone that talks too much and just keeps blabbering on and on, if there's an heir apparent to John Candy, it is Kristen Schaal. Like, that is absolutely spot on for that. I love that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, she plays a very similar character in Last Man on Earth, and she's fantastic. It's she could pretty much just be directed to imitate John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I think you would come up with that character, and she's amazing. So, nice pick.
That show is underrated, by the way.
For sure.
I need to watch that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it's got not Will Arnett, the other Will.
Will Forte
and Kristen Schaal.
The other Will.
I always confuse those two. That's my two. Nick Offerman and Kristen Schaal. And that would bring us over to Mark.
Yes. Well, for my Del Griffith, I was after many of the same things that that y'all were, especially, you know, being able to be lovable and goofy at the same time. But I also really wanted to nail that sincerity aspect. So the person that I chose was Jason Segel.
Nice. I like him. Nice. I considered him.
Yeah, and we know him primarily from How I Met Your Mother, where he plays Marshall. Also from a lot of really good movies, including Jeff, Who Lives at Home.
That's a great movie.
It's a really good movie. And to compliment my Jason Segel, I was thinking about, I guess I went a little bit more in depth in the reasoning of this one. I was thinking about where Steve Martin was in his career when he made this film. And I was thinking it seemed unique that Steve Martin had done so much that was either really goofy or he played it straight, but it was with a wink and maybe a pretty extreme wink at that. And I wanted somebody who would also be in that kind of spot where I want to see them make a little bit more of a leap and doing something that's kind of unique for them, something where they could play it straight, but spit a little bit more venom and be saltier and have you take them a little bit more seriously when they're doing it. So the person I picked for Neil Page is Paul Rudd.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I could see that.
Here come the Rudd. Here come the Rudd.
Thank you. Yeah. And Paul Rudd and Jason Segel have worked together before in a movie called I Love You, Man.
That movie is so good.
It's really good. And I think they have a pretty similar chemistry, and I liked it a lot for this. And I think they both do the goofy where they need to, and I think they both do the sincere where they need to, and that's what I want here. So for my Del and Neil, I picked Jason Segel and Paul Rudd.
I don't think that you would even need to change their two characters from I Love You, Man too drastically to get to the right sweet spot.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit more salty for Neil, but it's not too far off.
And a little bit less sort of antisocial quirky that he was pulling off in that movie.
All right, so with all that dead air, Andy, how about you?
Guys, you overthought this. This movie has already been remade. These characters have already been recast. So I just went with the obvious choices.
Meryl Streep.
Don't do it.
Neil Page will now be played by Sandra Bullock. Okay. And Del Griffith by Melissa McCarthy.
Okay.
The character, the chemistry has already been proven. It's just slap a bow on it, call it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and there you have a fantastic comedy.
Joe Hollywood got to you, didn't he?
What movie were they in?
Yeah, together? Can you remind our listeners, please?
They were in The Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Together. They were in... That might be the only movie they've actually done together. But essentially, they're playing these same characters.
Yeah.
So Melissa McCarthy as the John Candy heir apparent, I think makes a lot of sense. If you've seen, I mean, Kyle, you touched on it, and I think your choice for her as Neil Page is actually really brilliant. I like that a lot, but I'm going with the path of least resistance here. That she is easily has played characters. I think of like Bridesmaids, for example, where she is this boorish character who is just trampling all over social norms and etiquette and things like that. But at the same time, that character in that movie is also one who fights for her friends and sticks up for what's right and has this heart of gold. So, and you know, despite her just being awful, like you root for that character. And that's essentially what I thought of Del Griffith. Like he is not always pleasant to be around, but he has a heart of gold and he is loyal to a fault and just, you know, looks out for his buddies. And that's what this role is. And Sandra Bullock as the buttoned up executive is not a stretch at all. She's played that character several times. The only thing that I see as a challenge for this role for Sandra Bullock is the scene where where Neil Page gets to the rental car parking lot specifically, not the counter, but the parking lot, and sees the empty spot and then kind of has this hissy fit. That's the one scene that I'm having trouble with. Everything else, essentially, I think Sandra Bullock would be really good at, because even the scene at the rental car counter, I can see her going into just steely-eyed, no BS kind of mode, tossing out the F-bombs left and right. But then again, I also see her in the scene where she's adjusting the car seat and getting her face smashed into the window and falling down the snowbank and all those like fall down, go boom kind of moments. She's done that as well. So there you go. Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy.
I can totally see her freaking out at the rental car not being there.
It would be different. I was trying to imagine it essentially as a shot for shot remake of what Steve Martin did. I'm like, I don't know if that works, but she'll do her own thing and I'm not too worried about it. So
I'm reflecting on what Lee said about kind of Steve Martin becoming too much Steve Martin and not enough Neil Page. And I feel like you could do something where you just pan to her and she goes like, and then it cuts to her like walking on the highway, right? Like
that,
just completely
that would be good.
Skip
like
past
that.
It and just
like
then
that.
Like walking on the highway, tripping down the thing. You know what I mean?
One
like
of those,
you don't need
one of those moments where it goes and then cuts to like a train horn or something like that.
Right.
And,
yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's a good idea. Exactly. I like that idea.
Or the bus honking or something like that. Yeah. And then like immediately cut to her like walking down the side of a highway.
Yep.
You know, everything in rough shape. And yeah, I think that would be good.
There you go. I believe that's it for the majors.
Yeah, so that's the major character. So again, we did them as a pair here. So in the roles of Del Griffith and Neil Page, I went with Aubrey Plaza and Melissa McCarthy. Lee went with Patton Oswalt and Jason Bateman. Jer went with Kristen Schaal and Nick Offerman. Mark went with Jason Segel and Paul Rudd. And Andy went with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock. Moving on to the minor characters, the first of which is Susan Page. Susan Page, originally played by St. Paul's own Layla Robbins, just wants her husband, who I'm quite sure already comes home quite late regularly, to make it home on time for Thanksgiving. Boy, howdy, does the universe have another plan for him, and she spends the rest of the movie with agency involving looking longingly at a phone and looking longingly at bad cable television. So as you can tell by my description there, she does not have a whole lot to do in this movie. Essentially, she is taking care of the kids, who are very funny, by the way. I thought those kid actors were great.
They were good.
Were they the line like, I prefer nuggies. I thought that was just top-notch, top-notch kid line, top-notch kid say the darndest things. So basically, I wanted something to kind of like make fun of the fact that it's just someone sitting longingly and waiting for a person. And since I casted female leads, I decided to make this a male. It didn't have to be. I just decided to make it a male on the other end of that phone. And I went with Himesh Patel. He most recently, and I think just about only, starred in the movie Yesterday, which is the new Danny Boyle movie.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's good. Nice. Kate and I saw a preview screening of it, and it's super cool. It was really good. And so he plays the main character, the plot of which is he is a musician, a down-on-his-luck musician who's about to give up, and he is bike riding home. And then there's a flash, like a you know planet-wide EMP or whatever, and all the lights go out, and he gets hit by a bus. And when he wakes up, the Beatles never existed. So there's some really funny sight gags of him Googling various things, which when you see it, you'll understand. But he plays the main character, so he is very lovable. And I mostly wanted someone that just kind of had a sad face on its own, so that when he's staring longingly at the phone, I would love for it to be just as trite as the original one. I don't care I don't think it needs to be more than it has to be, where it's just like a dude looking longingly at the phone instead of just this, you know, housewife or whatever doing sales. So
are you wanting like a single tear down his cheek?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, watching Jerry Springer or whatever, just, you know, nothing terribly
eating
involved.
Eating that pint of Chunky Monkey.
Exactly.
Steve Wilco playing in the background.
Yes. So that is my choice. Himesh Patel in the role of Susan Page. I don't know, Steve Page, maybe, we'll see. But yeah, so Himesh Patel was my choice. Up next, Lee, tell us about your minor pick.
So I have the car rental agent, originally played by Edie McClurg, brilliantly, I would say, in probably the most memorable scene in the movie. The car rental agent's personal call whilst on duty further annoys an already infuriated Neil Page. She's jolly and helpful until she's pushed too far. This was interesting because when I was thinking about this, it dawned on me that I think this was one that I recast in our original recording of this. And I think I even remember who I picked. So I tried to steer away from that. I think it was Caitlin Olson, if I'm remembering right.
Oh, from It's Always Sunny?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But in this case, I wanted someone who would be very, very believable as this really bright, effervescent, friendly person, and then just completely turn when someone, you know, really rude is in front of her. So I picked Amy Poehler.
Nice.
Nice.
That I like is it. Good casting.
Thank you. I don't know. I suppose I'd have to tag her performance in Parks and Rec because in Seven Seasons, she sort of ran the gamut emotionally on that show. And I think it's, so far, I think it's the highlight of her career. So I thought she'd be perfect for this.
Yeah, the moment, I mean, Edie McClurg's performance is fantastic. We all have to acknowledge that.
Yep.
And the moment where the smile drops off her face when Steve Martin starts swearing at her, I could see Amy Poehler having that exact same shift. And just it just made me laugh thinking about it.
I do want to see that. But moving on, Jer, who do you have?
I am recasting the state trooper. Imagine you're a state trooper casually patrolling the back roads of 1980s middle America when a car with no mirrors, no working gauges, a crystal clear stereo, and ample amounts of fire damage flew past you at 78 miles per hour. Would you impound it until it was roadworthy or let it go to help two nearly frozen travelers make it home for Thanksgiving dinner? Our state trooper chose the former. And it was originally played by Michael McKean, who was a great actor of that time period from Spinal Tap. And I believe he was a SNL alum and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. He was all over the place. He did it great. He was just very serious and very no-nonsense. And just the fact that he had to ask those questions to this hunk of metal that was flying down the road, I think is funny in and of itself. He didn't have to create any humor. So I chose somebody who I believe is the quintessential character actor to play a cop, even though I'm not even sure if he's ever actually played a cop, and that is Gary Cole.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. It makes so much sense to me that I feel like he's played the role before, and I don't think he has.
I can't think of any type of police role that he's played, but it sounds like that's right up his alley.
Yeah, I can't think of a single one, but in my head, he's done a thousand of them. So
you may know Gary Cole as Lumberg from Office Space, and that's pretty much probably all you need. He's been in a million other things, but that should be your visual for who you see pulling over the car.
He is a ton of great. Great parts, and they're all small, and he knocks every single one of them out of the park.
He's the voice of Sergeant Bosco on Bob's Burgers.
There you go.
Nice.
He was Ricky Bobby's dad in Talladega Nights. He was Special Agent Holly in one of the more recent seasons of Archer. He was in, oh, he was the drug kingpin in Pineapple Express.
He played Chief Deputy Tillman in The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
There you go.
He was the bad guy posing as an FBI agent in A Simple Plan.
Yep. Yeah, he's played all like every genre, every type of role.
He's the commissioner in The Penguins of Madagascar. Jerry, he's got a ton of roles and authority figures here. Come on.
See, it makes sense. That's all we need to say about him. Now, one of my favorite characters in this entire movie is going to be announced by Andy. Go right ahead.
So, let's set the scene. Del and Neil are waiting outside the hotel. It's cold. They're sitting on the trunk that Neil lugs around everywhere. They see the truck pull up. The camera pans along the ground to meet these galoshes, I think they are, with jeans tucked up, kind of ruffled and tucked out.
In the Midwest, we'd call those rubbers.
Please don't ever say that again. And we the camera pans up to reveal Owen, played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Nice.
Like with the same affect, like the exact
I don't want to change one letter of dialogue or any one screen snort. Direction
or
I
manner of spitting
of manner of spitting. I essentially want to put a pair of Billy Bob teeth in his mouth, dress him in the exact same costume, and then just there you go, run the scene.
The scene, like the most Oscar-worthy scene in this entire movie, is when Dylan Baker like kind of spits off to the side and then wipes his mouth and then shakes Neil's hand. That was so perfect. Like that was just absolutely.
And Steve Martin's reaction is just like,
That's like a master class in whatever that was. It was just so perfect.
Except people train don't run out of Wichita.
It was so nonchalant and so not focused on that if you weren't paying attention, you didn't even notice that he did it.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Don't go out of Wichita.
People train run out of Stubville. Only train you catch out of Wichita is if you're a hog or a cattle.
And isn't Dylan Baker British as well?
He might as well be.
I think he is.
That's funny.
I really just want to hear Benedict Cumberbatch say, "She may be short and skinny, but she's strong. Her first kid come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing." Come on.
Dylan Baker was born in New York. He is
he's British.
Close enough.
New British. New
York.
British.
York. Yes.
He was born in New Amsterdam. All right. So then we move on to Gus. Mark, tell us about Gus.
Certainly. Originally played by Charles Tyner, Gus is a super boring character, but he sure is a nice guy, and a big fan of Del Griffith. A good thing, too, because Del and Neil sure needed a place to stay, and Gus sure has a motel to shelter them, and also a super off-putting son, Owen, to give them a ride. Gus really is a super boring character. There's he has, I don't know, 30 seconds of screen time, if that, and he's just really, really normal. Maybe the most normal person in the film, with lines. So I thought, how not to make this boring? We just need an actor that would make the most of it. Just who would really, really wring every last drop of blood out of this scene? Well, Meryl Streep would.
That's
in the role
my girl.
Of Gus, I picked Meryl Streep.
Wow.
That makes so much sense that Benedict Cumberbatch would be her son.
Yes, it does.
Wow. That is amazing. That is some serious, serious synergy here.
Living in Nebraska.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Wow.
Brilliant.
You Meryl Streeped me.
Yep.
It happens. The tables have turned. Boy. Nice. Well, that was fun. Dang, that was a good recasting ride there, tell you what. And that wraps up the first half of our episode here. Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all of the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play, where you can rate and review us, which would mean the world. We are on both Facebook, search for Math is Hard or Remaker's Mark, Twitter at Remaker's Mark, and Instagram at Remaker's Mark Podcast. So please join in the discussion there as well. So, gents, this is really good. I think 50 in here. We're starting to hit our stride. I feel like we're doing great. Let's just see how we can continue on into part two. In the meantime, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a 1987 odd couple road movie comedy. Let's try that again.